We've got Johnny Dupree on the phone, and I met Johnny, like a month ago down in Mexico for Sasha Daygame's Direct Dating Summit on Relationship Mastery. And Johnny got to speak twice. Jerk. He gave fucking amazing speeches. He gave the opening speech, and then his speech, was it the next morning he went again?
Yep.
Yeah. Was super powerful. Everyone just had amazing things to say. For those of you guys who were on the call last Wednesday or two Wednesdays ago, I had his business partner, Marcus Oki, on the phone. And Marcus is another fucking awesome dude.
Yes, he is.
Not surprised that you guys are partners. And it's really cool because you guys are so different, too. I feel like you guys make an awesome team.
We do the best we can to compliment each other. And yeah, it took me a little bit of time to understand his Brit-like behavior, and it took him a little while to deal with my obnoxious American style. So it was cool.
Yeah. And so I'm super excited. You know, we've got a bunch of shit to talk about, I'm sure. I know you guys just started the Connection Triggers class this morning, right? One of the guys who's on this call, Derek, was on it. And Derek, what did you think? He was raving about it before you jumped on, so I'll let him continue. What did you think, Derek?
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, I learned right away some things which I could use. For example, I've been doing this observational thing where I talk to people and I make an observational comment, but I would never justify it. And I learned that in today's session that plays a key difference if you can actually justify why you're making that observation. So things like that, these little things which tips and hacks into starting conversations. And it was just amazing. Like, I really felt that I could start using these things right away, as well as I'm sure that the upcoming sessions are going to be fantastic.
Yeah, today, one of the really, really cool things that we had an opportunity to start with was building the foundation and recognizing that the building blocks of human connection, when it comes to any connection, and that doesn't just mean a man with a woman, that means anybody, whether it's a teacher and a student, an employer and employee, that these connections that we build, the depth of them comes a great deal down to what are the building blocks that are built into human connection, one of them being the ability to actually relate to the context that you're in. And that's, so just so I can give a little precursor to what that was about, was basically saying that every conversation you have and every connection you build is built within a context. So when you understand the environment that you're in, it's very easy to start conversations because the environment that you're surrounded with is basically a series of offers that you can stem from by using words like you look. So like you look bored, or you look like you're really enjoying your cup of coffee or anything like that. And how you can justify your observation to that individual in a way that lets them know they don't really have to do anything to maintain the connection. You're able to continue it just on your own, which sort of takes the pressure out of the situation and actually allows a connection to unfold.
Oh, I like the way you explained that. It's cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I think.
Hi, Johnny.
Oh, that's Carly. She says hi too.
Hi. What's up, Carly?
Oh shit! Everyone was on the call.
Yeah. I'm bad at doing the logistical stuff. So I'm not sure if Marcus let you know or not, but there's, let's see, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4. There's about 15 people on the call. All the guys are from my leverage program.
Oh, awesome.
And a few of these guys are already signed up for the course. The rest of you guys, if you want to sign up, we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the call too. I know Joel was in there. Derek. Let's see if there's anyone else on the phone that's in there. Yeah. So, today, I don't know, we should talk about some more connection stuff for sure. I want to hear more about the purpose stuff too. I'm sure a lot of the guys we'll get a lot of value out of, you know, hearing more about that. And guys, if you have any questions, just blur them out along the way. And yeah, that's basically That's basically the logistics. Usually we do that first. So
my bad. Awesome. Well, thank you. Thanks for first off, I just want to say thanks for inviting me. It means a lot that I have the opportunity to get a chance to offer sort of my voice as a choir of all the individuals that you have surrounding you, Robbie. And I know that you do surround yourself with some pretty awesome men and women. So I think it's really cool that I get a chance to share my own particular series of skill sets and expertise with your group. So thank you.
No, thank you. And, can you give us like a quick background on, you know, how you got into all this and you know, anything else that you think everyone should know about you?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I originally was just sort of a kid growing up in San Diego County. I've been born and raised here, native of SoCal, and was really pretty much a dork. I loved video games and I watched Star Wars and Star Trek and I had action figures and I played Pogs and I loved comic books and I was the leader of my D&D group and all of that kind of stuff. So it was, I started off sort of as a very timid, very shy kind of kid, that went through a lot of shit in my early life. That fucking hurt. It hurt my feelings and caused and created traumas and challenges. And I found myself in this place of needing to be able to sort of survive and find a way to get out of that. And so as a result of going through so much hard shit, I sort of needed to get therapy, for lack of a better term. And so I instead of being able to get therapy, because I came from, my father had lost his job. We didn't have a whole lot of money. My mom said, well, the only thing that we can do is get you educated. And so she went and took me to the library and got me a free library card. And I started reading books on some of the stuff that I had gone through, dreams, dream interpretation, all the rest of that kind of stuff, and discovered hypnosis. So at the back of every single one of those books that I read was this concept of hypnosis. And so I got a little obsessed with the human mind and with the human psyche and that kind of stuff.
Sorry, how old were you when you got into hypnosis?
I was 13.
Oh, wow. That's dope.
So I picked up my first book on hypnosis when I was 13 years old and became really obsessed with it. And then I just I wanted to see shows. So I would go to the local fair. We've got that in San Diego. We've got this thing called the Del Mar Fair, the San Diego County Fair. And so I would go down there and watch these stage hypnotists do all these really cool and amazing things with these people. And I just became so utterly fascinated with how that worked that I saved up every dime and penny I could possibly save up, including mowing lawns and washing cars and doing all that kind of stuff. And I would go and see these shows, or I would go and, you know, buy these CD programs or these DVD programs from these hypnotists just so I could learn more about it. So it's sort of where I began this journey into the inner game, of creating the life of your dreams.
So you started young. That's cool.
Yeah, I don't really feel like I had much of a choice. Yeah. I kind of feel like the world, you know, kind of fucked with me from the get-go. And so as a result of that, it was like, okay, I kind of have I have a necessity to do it. And so I was lucky enough that I had a mother who could support me, by at least introducing me to the library so that I had access to sort of unlimited education.
Right. Yeah. And then when did you get into NLP? And I know you've done a ton of other trainings and stuff like that too.
Okay. NLP, when you get into hypnosis and you start studying hypnosis in real in depth, you discover that NLP is like sort of an offshoot of hypnosis. NLP was created by two men, Richard Bandler and John Grinder, who were studying several successful psychologists and or anthropologists at the time for their doctoral program at, I think it was University of California at Santa Cruz. And they studied one of the greatest hypnotists who's ever lived, a man named Dr. Milton Erickson. And, when they studied him, they started to discover some of the keys for his success as a therapist and as a hypnotist. And so NLP sort of became like a project of breaking down and role modeling, Milton Erickson, a woman named Virginia Satir, who was famous for her family therapy. for being able to help families with therapy that nobody else would be able to help. And a man named Gregory Bateson, who was, I believe, a cultural anthropologist. And so all of NLP was really born from the three of those individuals and role modeling them. So NLP and hypnosis are sort of like stepbrothers.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And so I got into NLP just shortly after getting into hypnosis.
So my only, I have a little bit of an NLP background, but not like I never formally studied NLP, but I did a lot of landmark stuff.
Oh, cool.
A ton of NLP.
A ton.
Yeah. And I fucking love NLP. It's amazing. It's just like, one of the most powerful things I learned from landmark and NLP is basically that words create our reality, or words create our world. And you said that in your speech. And I think it'd be super valuable for the guys listening if you can kind of touch on that, because I think definitely, you know, something that everyone can use to really like improve their quality of life.
I couldn't agree more. When it comes to language, NLP literally stands for neurological linguistic programming, which is that our unconscious minds are basically a series of patterns that we've developed, whether they're belief systems or their ideologies or their frameworks. The unconscious mind is programmed from birth in order to protect us. Language is the key that we as humans use in order to relate these beliefs, this inner blueprint of our reality to the realities of the people that surround us. So language becomes the medium or the vehicle by which we translate my reality to your reality, or in this case, on this call, to multiple realities. So language is in itself a representation of a physiological or a neurological experience. So words literally are the way we shape our own realities and how we then communicate that reality to the realities that surround us, whether they're sociological, cultural, religious, familial, or just our own personal inner psychology.
Yeah. It's, I knew for, you know, I call a lot of these guys out in the group when they, they'll make statements and stuff that is just factually incorrect. There's no way it's true. And then not only are the things wrong, but they're basically framing everything in a way that's not going to basically help them. So I'm always like a stickler, maybe to an annoying degree, but
no, you're actually doing them a favor.
Yeah. Well, good. You hear that, guys? Fuck off.
Yeah.
I heard Jack speak at the convention in Acapulco. He got us through an exercise, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but we had to like translate to each other what like a certain word means. And it was so funny because I think I was like, turn to your partner and like guess what they're thinking or something. And it was just so far off like what we thought and like what something meant and like what the other person thought. And like, we can't read like people's minds. It was so great because one word to one person may not mean the same thing to another person. So it's cool, that exercise. Do you remember that exercise, Johnny, that you had us do? I can't remember.
Yes. In fact, it's actually impossible for a word to mean the exact same thing to two people. And the reason for that is because when we grow up, our inner neurology, our inner landscape is built on a series of experiences that we make meaning out of. So when I say the word joy, right, you might be thinking right now of Almond Joy, the candy bar. Or you might be thinking of Joy to the World, which is a song. Or yeah. You might be thinking Joy is the name of your cousin who you really love and can't wait to see her again because you haven't seen her in 3 years. So the word joy itself has no inherent meaning. It's the meaning that we ascribe to it that creates the imagery or our perception of what that word could mean. So oftentimes when we're having a conversation, we think the people that we're talking to are relating to the word the same way we relate to it. And you couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, so you're having different conversations.
Yeah, it's actually impossible.
Yeah.
So because our realities are by nature inherently different, there's a lot of miscommunications and misunderstandings that occur only because no one's ever taught us to verify or check in with the other person that we're having a conversation with to make sure that what they're receiving is what we're intending to express. So one of my favorite questions that I use actually comes straight from NLP, and is and it's the question, what do you mean by X specifically? So what do you mean by joy specifically? What do you mean you're angry? What do you mean by that specifically? And it's so that you can get their inner experience.
No, you did your exercise the other day, Johnny, actually. So
she goes, honesty. I'm like, what do you mean by honesty?
Okay. No, so disagreement. So we did your exercise, like, you know, name the things you need in a relationship. And what do you mean by that? And like all of us, so we're going through the exercise. And I'm like, I mean, honesty. It's like, well, what do you mean by honesty? I'm like, what the heck do you mean?
Isn't that interesting? Because honesty can mean two different things to do two different people. Because to a butt kicker from New York, honesty means cold, hard truth, no matter what the consequences are. But whose truth is that? It's just his truth. And is he being honest with himself? Because if he's not being honest with himself, and there's someplace within him he's lying to himself, then when he goes to, quote, be honest, he's lying without knowing he's lying. Because he's lying to himself first and foremost. So when somebody says to me, hey, honestly, I actually ask myself in my head, I wonder what level of honesty they're talking to me on.
Right.
Wow, yeah.
When people say, oh, to be honest, well, were you not honest?
Yeah, were you lying? Were you lying for the last 25 minutes? Like... No, it just means that in their own mind, they may have just deepened their connection with you. And now they want to state to you, I'm going to be honest with you, not just on a surface level like I was before, but I'm about to be honest with you on an even deeper level. So what they're doing is pre-framing or letting you know their connection to you. They're actually giving you almost like a checkpoint, or what Marcus and I would call a connection trigger. They're letting you know, we're going deeper now, and I feel safe enough with you to be honest with you on this next level as well.
That's
and
cool.
that can be pretty profound.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I've never had someone explain it like that. It's, you know, I'm definitely like, I felt that, and I've used that before. I've said to people have said it to me a million times, and, you know, it definitely creates a new sort of frame in the conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, Robbie?
Yeah.
Or should I call you Hobby? What ended up happening between you and Carly as a result of utilizing some of these questions? Cause it sounds to me like it turned out to make you both laugh.
Yeah, that you have us do, we do them all the time, and they're actually amazing. Like, we love, and Marcus's stuff too. Like, you guys are great. So we took so much away from the talks you guys both had. And no, we were joking about it, and I was obviously tiffy and like pissy at first, but no, then we actually explained it. Actually, Robert, do you want to fill out the notes, maybe? We have one?
Yeah, I mean, we can. I don't want to take too much time, but we did. I'll name
it. We don't have to read it.
yeah, we don't have to do that. But basically, we went over openness, growth, intimacy, oneness, and it's just a great exercise. Like, it really, it's fun for us. It deepens our connection. It's a good way to like spend quality time together and get to know the other person better as well.
Do you want to tell everyone who's on the call what the exercise is? Because they're probably like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, well, Johnny, do you want to explain it to them real quick? Or
I can. Yeah. It's basically it's about clarification, and the four keys to having a conversation with somebody, especially somebody you deeply care about, and to help discover from them what's happening in your connection and to gain that clarity is to learn first how you respond to somebody in a communication or in connection so that they can feel your genuine desire to dig deeper with them. And the first step is always acknowledgement. So oftentimes, and I'm sure Robbie, you know this now because you're a very consummate professional, that as we continue to move in the direction of business now, it used to be all about the money. Sure. Everything used to be about the money. How successful am I going to be? How much money am I making per year? Is it in alignment with the cost of living in whatever city I'm in? What's my ROI? What's my return on investment? You know, that's what it used to be about. But now they're having to add new variables in because people are starting to say professional appreciation and acknowledgement is just as high on their level of values now as money. So it's like you can be getting paid. You can be getting paid really well, but unless you're being acknowledged by the company that you work for, by your boss, by your fellow colleagues, people are actually rating their workplace, their own sense of workplace success based on their level of acknowledgement and appreciation. So the very first thing I do anytime I'm having an interaction, especially a deep one, where I want to really connect with the individual, whether it's my best friend. Or my girl, you know, one of my girlfriends. It's important that you start with acknowledgement, and then once you acknowledge, and that can be as simple as a sound effect. So just when my girlfriend Sarah is talking, and she says something, I'll go, oh, okay, yeah. Okay, so it's as simple as sometimes sound effects can be all that needs to be stated in order to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just like you just did.
That's what I did, yeah.
Yeah, just like you just did. And it's completely normal as a part of our interactions. But the problem is that for guys like you and I, Robbie, who are trained, these things come out of us naturally now. But they not everyone has been raised the way that maybe you and I have been, or hasn't gone through like the same kinds of landmark experiences that you and I have been through, that allow us to have these things naturally unfold and come out of us. So sometimes, depending upon the depth of the topic, I will make the acknowledgement phase even bigger, even more important. So instead of just going, yeah, okay. So like let's say my girlfriend says, and then she's talking about her ex-boyfriend or something. And she says to me, you know, and my ex-boyfriend, I'm not going to call it rape, but I kind of felt like, the expectation that he put on me was that sex needed to be available to him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So when I heard her say something like that, which by the way, she didn't say that. I just made that up. But let's say she did say something like that. That for me is not one of those moments where I go, oh yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the acknowledgement phase needs a little bit more emphasis put on it. So I looked at her and I went, wow. That must have been really, really awkward for you. That must have been really tough for you in relationship. That me making that statement is basically me acknowledging what she went through. And when I do that, sometimes that's enough to completely change the entire interaction, because how often are we truly acknowledged for both?
Feels like listened to. I mean, it's so rare to have a conversation where you actually feel like the other person's listening.
I couldn't agree more. Like, it happens all the time, every day, because we exist, at least if you're in the United States, we exist in a land of politeness. So it's like, I know the person is hearing me, but I don't feel like they're listening to me, which is, yes, their ears are kind of open, but I can see them puzzling something out in their head. Maybe they're working on a project from work, or maybe they're already in another conversation in their head, but they're definitely not present with me. So that acknowledgement says to the other person, I'm here with you. You're not alone. And that can be huge.
Yeah, sure.
And I think it's the number one pitfall. You know, like in relationships, we get so used to being with our partner that we often forget to acknowledge them.
Totally. I mean, I've been so bad in past relationships before where I've just gotten to the point where I just completely tuned people out. But my girlfriend, one of my ex-girlfriends, I like my default was to tune her out, which was obviously a sign that I probably shouldn't have been in that relationship for much longer. But, you know, you can really develop some bad patterns and habits from that.
Well, shoot, man. How many, I mean, for God's sakes, it started, I recognized this when I started watching the TV show Married with Children when I was a kid and saw, you know, sort of Bundy there messing with Peg, you know, like not paying attention to her at all or writing her off. And the sad part was, is that as I would turn and look at my own father, he was doing the same thing. Like, there's my mom talking away and there's my dad watching TV, drinking a beer and pretending she doesn't exist. You know, like, so acknowledgement can go a long way to build deep connections.
Totally.
Well, absolutely.
I was more laughing at the Al Bundy.
The reference. Yeah. The reference. Yeah. Him scratching himself. And yeah. So then I got to this place where I was like, okay, now that I've acknowledged them, is acknowledgement all a woman wants? Is acknowledgement all a connection needs? Like, so literally for weeks at a time, as I was just messing around with this stuff, all I did was just acknowledge people. And I started to notice that the conversations would just sort of fizzle out. They would just sort of fall. And it was because I wasn't adding anything. I was just acknowledging. So it was like, yes, I hear you, but no, I'm not going to add anything. I'm just going to sit here, shut up and acknowledge you. Which, by the way, with the right woman could work.
Yeah, totally.
It totally could work. Just sit there, shut up, and acknowledge her. That might be everything she actually is looking for.
I'm sure a lot of guys in this call, like, damn, I just need to find a girl like that. I can just, you know, say a funny, you know, opening line, and then just she'll just talk forever. And I can just say, uh-huh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it just nods your head like, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh, right, yeah, sure, uh-huh. But what I started to notice is that the more high-quality interactions and high-quality connections I wanted to create, the more I was going to have to go beyond acknowledgement. And so I started immediately. So I would acknowledge and then I would just jump back with whatever I was thinking. And while I could continue conversations this way, I was noticing that the connections weren't actually going deeper. Like I was adding something, but I started to notice the other person was a little annoyed, a little put off. And
what, like parroting them or?
Yeah, it felt like I was literally just echoing back everything there. I was acknowledging and then I would echo back what they were saying, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't actually addressing our connection within it. So I acknowledged, yes, you made a statement. And then I would repeat the statement back so that they know I heard them. But how does, I need to let them know how that affected me. I need to somehow communicate to them that connection, that their choice to share that with me, it means something to me.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that too, because I was recently working with, and he's not on the call, but one of the guys from the group, and I had him mic'd up and he was running around New York, you know, hitting on girls. And, after everything a woman said to him, he repeated it. So he'd be like, well, where are you from? He's like, Detroit. Ah, Detroit. What do you do? I'm a lawyer. Ah, I'm a lawyer. And it's just, right. After he told him, you know, he didn't even know he was doing it, obviously. It was just
of course not.
Nervous tick, usually, right? Just something we just do because we're nervous and we're trying to think of the next thing to say. So what comes out is just parroting the rest. But after I pointed out to him and I was getting annoyed listening, I'm like, dude, shut up, stop doing it. Then he was getting annoyed and then he stopped, which is great. But you know, your story reminded me of that.
And the funniest part is that's the whole reason I studied hypnosis is because I wasn't able to make the changes inside of myself. I knew I needed to make on an unconscious level. So even though I was telling myself I need to say something different, at the end of every time a woman would talk, I would say, ah, Detroit. And I'm like, and in my head, I'm like, shit, that's not what I was supposed to say. I was fucking supposed to say that thing that Robbie told me to say. What the fuck? You know, so I wanted to make those changes. And so I needed to become much more conscious of what was happening within me. And so I started to notice that connection between the outer game, your outer game of life, and this inner game of life, which is where I think Marcus and I really complement each other well, is that he has spent so much of his life studying the genius of conversations and social dynamics and interpersonal communication skills that he knows and has the keys to the kingdom of outer game. Mm-hmm. But what I've spent my life studying is that inner game component, which is, yes, now you've practiced these techniques. How do you make them natural? Sure. How do you make them come out of your mouth without you having to think about it? Without it, how do you make this new benchmark your new you, so that you can look at the you you were and just let that man go? Let that woman go. Let that person that I was go. And so it meant taking the next step. And it's so ironic that the next thing I'm going to teach you guys about this exercise that Carly was talking about is appreciation, which is, now that I've acknowledged you and you've spoken to me about some topic, some whether it's a deep topic or a surface topic, I've now acknowledged you for it. Now I want to show you what that means to me that you've shared this with me. And so I take time to appreciate them for it. And appreciation can look like saying the words thank you, literally. But you don't want to get trapped in saying thank you all the time, because then you're that broken record again, which is, Detroit, thank you very much for sharing where you came from. Like, what?
Yeah.
The other person's going to look at you like you're a creeper.
But when we were first doing the exercise in Mexico, I was being a fucking jackass, and every time I'm like, oh, thank you for sharing that.
But what's hilarious about it is that, because you have such a beautiful connection with Carly, because I got to witness that, you guys have that ability to make fun of this and laugh about it and create those moments where you can joke about stuff like this. But there are real women and men that I have met that have never been appreciated, like, their entire fucking life. Up until this point, they have never been appreciated. No one, not even their own parents, would thank them for doing the dishes or picking up the laundry or anything. They've just never been appreciated. And so looking at someone and being genuine and saying to them, you know, I know that couldn't have been easy to share that with me. But I want you to know that means a lot to me. You know, I'm extremely grateful that I have someone in my life like you that's willing to share stuff like this with me, or I would never be able to discover true intimacy. And I love that I get to have that with you. You know, all of a sudden your relationships go deeper.
Yeah. I mean, people so rarely are, you know, acknowledged or appreciated, you know, it feels great, you know,
it does. And what's really cool is that the byproduct of getting to feel good yourself when you appreciate someone else for who they are, and watching your connections deepen with those individuals just by that simple acknowledgement and appreciation. And in fact, both of those are what Marcus and I would identify as connection triggers. You know, spreading gratitude is a connection trigger, albeit a low level one, because we hear the words thank you all day long, especially in polite conversation. But real genuine appreciation that can be seen and felt is taken so much different, is taken much differently, and is rooted, is deepened when you come from that authentic emotional place of true appreciation, and not the polite version of it.
Yeah, not the half-ass.
Exactly. Finish this for Carly. Then I ask questions. So now that I've acknowledged you and what you've said to me, and I've shown you an appreciation to let you know it does mean a lot to me that you've shared this. Now I need to start asking some questions, because of what we were chatting about earlier, which is, I don't necessarily know that what they're communicating is how I'm receiving it. So I want to verify that what they're saying to me is what they meant to say. And so I'll ask some questions. And one of the questions I already gave you guys was, what does X mean specifically, or what do you mean by X specifically? Another question I often ask is, how do you know? So like if somebody's, you know, especially this is, and this is specifically in the context of a relationship with a significant other. How do you know when I'm respecting you? How do you know I'm being loyal to you?
Yeah, that was really funny when Robbie asked me, so honesty was one of mine. He's like, so how do you know if I'm being honest? I'm like, are you kidding? After, yeah, he asked me, what does honesty mean? How do you know if I'm so pissed off?
Yeah, but are you ready for this? You're pissed off because he's fucking with you, right? And as you should be, because he's fucking with you. But the question...
But the question
does have merit.
Yeah.
And literally, Carly, how do you know when he's being honest with you? Does he look you in the eyes? Does he smile? Does he hold your hand? You know?
Yeah, this exercise, we do it pretty often.
I'm still waiting for the answer. I'm still waiting for the answer for that one, by the way. But yeah, she wouldn't tell me. So.
Yeah. Well, and that would be, and I'm going to say this, Carly, don't give it to him. And that would be because we don't want to tempt Robbie with his ability to mask honesty with whatever answer you give him. So maybe some things in a relationship are best kept secret.
Amazing.
So I gave everybody on the call those first two questions, but there is a third question that I ask. And that is, it can depend actually. There's actually a third, fourth, and fifth question you could ask it. And that is, well, how would you feel if I did? And that is, how would you feel if I did that thing? How would you feel if I was honest? How would you feel if I was showing you this loyalty? How would you feel? How would that make you feel? And the reason for that is because I want to know what the result will be in me changing my level of communication and me changing the way I connect with him or her. I want to know how it's going to impact them when I act this way or treat them this way.
Yeah.
So that becomes my feedback mechanism or my feedback loop, which is, now I know I can acknowledge them and I can appreciate them. And I now know what they're asking of me because I've asked questions to clarify it. And I know how they're going to respond to me when I do. So I essentially know what the trigger is. I know what behavior I'm supposed to offer, what action I'm supposed to take. And now I know what result it will lead to in them.
It is crazy how much you can learn about someone just by doing that exercise.
Isn't it?
No, that exercise is so great. I love it.
Well, thank you guys for being willing to actually practice it because I can't tell you how many crowds I stand in front of and I've spent years developing some of this stuff. And I give it to people and then I get an email like 3 weeks later and they're like, yeah, but what do you do about this? And I'm like, did you do the exercise? And they're like, no, but blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, I get so frustrated. I'm like, please just do the exercise and then email me back. And I never get an email back.
Wow.
Oh, why? The exercise resolved it.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
You know, it's like,
they don't, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, thanks. And so it becomes one of those things that we spoke about earlier, which is the difference between talking about something and taking action on it.